on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relations.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. Joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being a father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful. Pray that you'll find
But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 26th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of the month of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of the month of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, let's open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Takwir, verses 1-9.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Idha ash-shamsu kuwirat.
When the sun is wrapped up in darkness.
وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ.
And when the stars fall dispersing.
وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ.
And when the mountains are removed.
وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ.
And when full-term she-camels are neglected.
وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ.
And when the wild beasts are gathered.
وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ.
And when the seas are filled with flame.
وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ.
And when the souls are paired.
وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ.
And when the girl who was buried alive is asked.
بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ.
For what sin she was killed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
After listening to verses 1 to 9 of chapter Takwir, I should say that one of the most dreadful and most savage actions of the pagan Arabs was female infanticide, which is made reference to repeatedly in the Holy Quran. Some commentators believe that this custom was committed only by one tribe of Arabs, but surely it was not a rare phenomenon. Otherwise, the Quran would not emphatically refer to it on frequent occasions. In any case, it is so terrible and cruel that even its rare occurrence is notable. As I told you on this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about father-daughter relation. Fathers play an important part in helping children, especially daughters, gain self-care and self-respect. This goes beyond communicating and treating women, but how fathers see and compliment their daughters. In this regard, the father helps to nurture his daughter's self-esteem and shape her perception of beauty and body image. His presence affects a child's emotional intelligence, self-esteem, and confidence. A daughter's relationship with their father can play a key role in their psychological development. In fact, when fathers are present in their daughters' lives, girls grow up with a healthy sense of who they are. They are more confident and self-assured and have a clearer understanding of what they want in life. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. In this connection, it must be indicated that, first of all, there's a kind of special delicacy, from emotional points of view, in all girls, and especially in daughters when daughters come into relation with their fathers. At the same time, we find that in those communities, in those families, where, for example, the mother is available over there, and when the father comes back home and speaks to, his wife, who is the mother of his children, we find that in such connection, in such circle, there are, for example, at least a daughter and a son available at home. And both of them expect many things from the father. Practically, daughters are more sensitive in this regard. Girls in general, and in this case, daughters are more sensitive. And they are, to some extent, more apt to be fragile. Because of this, it must be indicated here that fathers are expected to pay special and careful attention to their daughters and to respect them. And at the same time, we find that from a biological point of view, for certain days, girls may not be in a normal condition. Because of this, they need special attention. This special attention, this psychological attention, should be given to the daughters, to the girls in general, and to the daughters by their fathers. Because the kind of relationship that we find and that we observe between daughters and their mothers are totally different from the way they expect treatment. A very kind mode of treatment from their fathers.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special and this message to fathers: what you need to know about raising daughters. If you have younger daughters, perhaps ages 5 to 8, take them with you to the mosque. Remember that the mosque is a place of worship and is just as much a place for women as it is for men. Establish your daughter's relationship with the house of God early on. Take her with you and encourage her to perform salah, prayer, even though at this age it is not required. Just imagine the message this act sends to other fathers. Even though it may be inconvenient at times, an effort to create fond memories is a great step in deeply bonding with your daughter. It will be something she never forgets. When your daughter grows up, perhaps she will be more willing to get involved in the mosque activities, and it may be that you receive reward for that. Remember that the beloved messenger of Allah said, "Whoever guides someone to virtue will be rewarded equivalent to him who practices that good action."
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا
رب. Now the previous part was a message to our fathers. This part is to all the daughters. Listen carefully. Your father is the first man in your life and therefore the first male role model. there is a strong need for a young girl to have a positive male role model in her life. A father who respects his wife, daughter, and other women helps his daughter trust and respect the opposite gender too. A father sets the standard by which his daughter will judge and view other men.
Today's studies show that it is pivotal for a father to be in the life of his daughter, and how crucial that could be, and how that can affect her future and her entire life.
Definitely.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was there for his beloved daughter, Fatima, peace be upon her, from the moment of her birth. And he was with her even the moments that he was taking his last breaths. And as we all know, he gave her glad tidings that she would be the first to join him. Rasulullah was there from the first moment. And you know, even that first moment, if the father is not happy that he's having a daughter, this will affect the life of that daughter.
Absolutely.
Rasulullah was joyous. He was happy that he's having a daughter. Even till today, within our communities, our societies, if a woman becomes pregnant and she tells her husband, "I went and just did a, you know, a sunar, and the child is a girl," some men become grumpy. They become upset.
Yeah.
"I wanted a boy. I wanted this." Till today, after 1400 years, Rasulullah became very happy and delighted.
That was interesting topic. The topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and here are some thought-provoking words from the Prophet's 16th infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, whose martyrdom anniversary we commemorated yesterday, the 25th of Shawwal. The true believers are those who fear God and strive hard so that the guidance they have been provided will not be taken away from them. If they remember God and His grace, they feel apprehensive and fearful. If God's verses are recited before them, this increases their faith and they have complete trust in their Lord.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a beautiful hadith and tradition which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding hope. Specifically, it is about true hope, or what we call in Arabic, ar-raja'u s-sadiq, true hope. Allah kind of alludes to this concept in the Holy Quran, where he says, "Indeed, those who have become faithful and those who have migrated and waged jihad or struggled in the way of Allah, it is they who hope for Allah's mercy. And Allah is all forgiving and all merciful." So in this verse, God Almighty kind of says the people who really should hope in Allah's mercy are a group of people who have perform certain good deeds which make them deserving of Allah's mercy, right? So it kind of means that if somebody doesn't do good deeds and doesn't prepare the way for the reception of God's mercy, these people shouldn't really have any hope in Allah's mercy. They don't deserve Allah's mercy, so why should they have hope in it? You know, they have a false hope in Allah's mercy. And so you have to perform certain tasks which paved the way for your reception of Allah's mercy. Once you do those, it's proper to hope in Allah's mercy, and this hope, it has value and it's true. So in line with this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, Imam Ali alayhi salam said the following to a man soliciting advice from him. So somebody came to Imam Ali asking for him for advice. The Imam alayhi salam said the following to him: Do not be of those who hope for bliss in the life of the hereafter without action. I mean, without committing any good deeds, without committing any good actions, they, falsely hope for being blessed in the hereafter. It's an unrealistic hope, having unrealistic expectations and hopes in God. In continuation, the Imam says, and delay repentance by having high expectations. Kind of in the same vein, right? Some people, they don't repent because they have high expectations. God is merciful, God is kind, God will forgive us. There's no need to repent. And who utter words like the ascetics with regards to this world, though in practice they behave like those who covet it. And so some people, in practice, right, they behave like they love the world, right? They're constantly seeking the world. They're running after money. They're running after material things. They want a better car. They want a better job. They want a better wife and all these kind of things. But at the same time, when they speak contrary to what they do, and they say things, right, that kind of convey the idea that they don't have any interest in the world. Right? They talk about the dunya as being the world as being bad, and yeah, as having no interest in it, and recite poetry regarding the evils of the world and so on and so forth. But in practice, they're constantly running after the world. So the Imam in this advice that he gave to this person, he kind of advised the person to stay away from these three characteristics, one of which was to only have hope in God and His mercy and in the bliss in the hereafter when you have performed good deeds. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the enjoyment of true hope in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعجل فرج محمد وعجل فرج.
Okay, welcome back. Now, inshallah, our students here will recite one ayah, each of them. We will listen to them, okay?
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So we start with Hussein Musa, please. The next ayah, ayah 10, right? يقولون Surah Nazi'at. If you are new with us, Surah Nazi'at. If you have joined us newly, ayah 10 of Surah Nazi'at, page 583, chapter 30 of the Quran Karim. So after, I will read the ayahs, okay? You should repeat after me. Thank you so much for cooperating. Now.
فحشر فنادى
فحشر فنادى
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى.
So I heard one of you say like أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. We that studied a rule, okay, that says when we have this sakin here, okay, this sakin sign, so it says that when you connect this أَنَا, the word أَنَا, okay, with the next word, okay, it's pronounced in a special way, okay, but when you stop here, it is pronounced in another way, okay? Yes. So how? Two cases are there. If you stop and if you connect it, okay?
فَقَالَ أَنَا.
Uh-huh. If you stop here, فَقَالَ أَنَا, you change it to أَلِف مَدِّي, أَنَا.
Or not, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ.
If you connect them together, okay, you skip that أَلِف sound.
So there's a zero on top of the أَنَا.
Oh, that's the sign of sukun. فَقَال, a special type of sukun. What does it mean? It means that if you stop here, yes, you change this not to a sukun, okay? You change it to أَلِف مَدِّي. فَقَالَ أَنَا.
Okay.
أنا. But if you connect it with the next part, the next words, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. أنا, it's repeated many times in the Quran, okay? So أَنَا, أَنَا. When do you say أَنَا?
When you stop. When you stop.
When do you say أَنَا?
When you
continue with the next words, okay? Okay. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى.
Look, sometimes the pronunciation of the Hamza might be difficult for some of us, okay?
Like me.
Like, yeah.
I pronounce Hamza عين.
Yeah. Look, فَقَالَ فَقَالَ عَنَنُ. It's okay. أَنَا, you should say, okay? But here, look, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. This أَعْلَى, Hamza with عَيْن, it might be difficult. So here you can skip that Hamza. How? فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. You pronounce the Hamza in a very like soft sound. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Look. رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Soft
one.
Yeah, it is kind of la la sound, okay? But there is a sound, but very soft one. So read it with me. فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى.
Thanks. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى
فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى.
أحسن. أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ
أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ.
Again, here, look, there is a special rule here. Again, when you see the tanween, and after tanween we have hamza, inshallah, in level 3, you will study that you will apply the rule of ilhar. It means you have to, like, appear that tanween sound, an, or in, or on, whatever, okay? Then if it's hamza, that hamza must be pronounced, like, with a soft sound. Look this way. أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء. Look, خلقنا من السماء. Do not say خلقا من السماء. No, خلقنا من السماء. Right? خلقنا من السماء. Okay?
الذين يذكرون الله If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
Read it now. أَأَنتُمْ أَنشَدُّ خَلْقَنَا مِنْ السَّمَاءِ
أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقَنَا مِنْ السَّمَاءِ
أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء
أأنتم أشد خلقنا من السماء
أحسن بناها
بناها
great رفع سمكها فسواها
رفع سمكها فسواها
وأغطش ليلها
وأغطش ليلها
وأخرج ضحاها
وأخرج ضحاها
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها
great mashallah والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها
look والأرض right
والأرض
okay next ayah أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها
والجبال أرساها
والجبال أرساها
متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم
متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم
فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى
فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى
This was one of the very difficult examples of التقاء الساكنتين, yes? So this was one of the very, difficult examples, yes? فإذا جاءت ساكن letter طامة First starts with ساكن, yes? تشديد طام again ألف ساكن ميم طم ميم again ساكن فإذا جاءت الطامة right okay
فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى أخشى أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we learned. Let's recite Sadaqallah as well, okay?
Sadaqallahu al-Aliyyul
Azim. So thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished level 1 and level 2 of our Quranic sessions. Inshallah, in the coming sessions, I really invite you to stay with us with level 3 of our Quranic sessions. I mean the tajweed, which is very important, okay? So there are some, like, details of level 2, okay? We have that, inshallah, will continue as our level 3, okay? So I want you to stay with us. Thank you so much. We really have to give thanks to Allah Almighty first and foremost, and then thanks to IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, and also the students
thanks
of Sevier International Schools.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, the teacher. Thanks to everyone. So, see you inshallah in the next sessions. Let's recite a Quranic salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ilahi wa Mawlaya ajrayta alayya hukman ittaba'tu fi hawa nafsi. ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى
وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحجة علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك.
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي. My Allah, my protector, I have given myself a decree against me. I followed the caprice of my own soul and I did not defend myself from my enemy. فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء, which deluded me through my soul's caprice, and therein destiny favored it. فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك. So I crossed some of the barriers, I transgressed some of your limits, and disobeyed some of your commands. This is a very interesting point mentioned by Imam Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the believers. The Almighty Allah wants all the humans to be adorned with true beliefs, with true monotheism, the kind of which whose place is in the heart, virtuous morality that is placed in the soul, and righteous deeds which are performed by one's organs, all of which are human duties. But the point that Imam Ali alayhi salam starts with the true beliefs, starts with the heart, starts with the soul of the person, is that when the soul and heart is in control, it is really easier to control our deeds, to control our organs. Allah has necessitated these duties for us out of His wisdom and mercy, and it is for our own good, for human expediency in this world and also hereafter. So this is what Allah has asked us as our duties. Now, if Allah's will is fulfilled sincerely in every circumstance, we can undoubtedly reach the full perfection, the spiritual growth that He has promised us. Such a person would have a prosperous hereafter as well as Allah's satisfaction. Not only such a person will live a kind of a purified life in this world, but he will also live an eternal life in paradise, along with prophets, the martyrs, and the righteous servants.
My God, my Master, You decreed a law for me, but instead I obeyed my own low desires, and I did not guard myself against the allurements of my enemy. He deceived me with vain hopes, whereby I was led astray, and fate helped him in that respect. So I transgressed some of the limits set for me by You, and I disobeyed some of Your commandments. You therefore have a just case against me in all those matters, and I have no plea against Your judgment which You passed against me. I have therefore become liable to Your judgment and afflictions.
Thank You, Allah. So good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, earlier in the program, we discussed what our duties are, what Allah has asked us to do. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي. My Allah, my protector, I have given myself a decree against me. I followed the caprice of my own soul. I did not defend myself from my enemy, which deluded me through my soul's caprice. Now, the only hindrance in submitting to Allah's will is the human carnal soul that causes illogical desires, which, of course, attract him to wrongdoings, attract him to passions and finite, worldly wealth and affairs. These vices are the kind that deceive human. They somehow imprison him. They exhaust all his power for reaching them. Sometimes they go beyond the limits. They cause violating the rights of others and even the society. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, أَجْرَيْتَ عَلَيَّ حُكْمًا اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهِ هَوَى نَفْسِي. I have myself given a decree against me. I follow the caprice of my own soul. وَلَمْ أَحْتَرِسْ فِيهِ مِنْ تَزْيِينِ عَدُوِّي. I did not defend myself from the enemy. فَغَرَّنِي بِمَا أَهْوَى. So he deluded me. وَأَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقَضَى. And destiny favored it. فَتَجَاوَزْتُ بِمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بَعْضَ حُدُودِكَ. So I crossed some of the barriers. I transgressed your limits. Such a person will turn to a wicked one, free of any belief, any kind of moral and practical principles. Such a person will not turn to any good to himself and others. He would continue his sinful life, heedless of the realities, till death would terminate his life. And for such a person, we can tell that death is freeing him and also other people from his evilness. And this is what the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, has beautifully put into words. أَعْدَى عَدُوِّكَ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. You want to know the most severe of your enemies? The most severe of your enemies is your soul, is your own soul that is placed between your two sides. So, it is also confirmed by the Holy Quran too that human carnal soul is his most severe enemy because it enjoins to every evil doing and forbids from any good. And that is how the life of man will be destroyed, not just in this world, but also in hereafter. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Brother Sajjad Haider. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Sajjad Haider, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today we want to talk about a very prominent, outstanding monument of the Islamic land. It is a cemetery, but it is a really historical monument and legacy for the whole Islamic land known as Al-Baqi or Jannatul Baqi. It's really a place where you can find history in that. You can find the tombs of the greatest imams of the Ahlul Bayt in that. The tomb and the graves of the most outstanding and prominent companions and the followers of Prophet Muhammad over there. It's really a historical monument, it's a historical legacy, and so many lessons we can take from visiting such a place, such a site, holy site. You can see in Al-Baqi Cemetery near Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina. Sayyid Mohsen, first of all, give us a background about the early history of Al-Baqi. What was it exactly, when it was founded, and why is it important?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, the cemetery of Baqi was, we can say, chosen by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the first Hijri when he migrated to Medina, and since then the Muslims were buried in that cemetery. So basically, this land was chosen by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were some graves before, but the cemetery was chosen by him that the Muslims will be buried into this cemetery, which is known as Al-Baqi.
Okay.
And therefore, we can see that those companions of the Prophet, the wives of the Prophet, and some of the members of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam, when they were in the Medina, they all were buried in the cemetery of Al-Baqi. There are many examples. Yes. For example, Halima Sadia, yes, was there, Fatima bint Asad was buried there, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, Usman bin Affan,
yes,
Aqil bin Abi Talib, Malik bin Ans, who is the leader of the Malikis.
Right.
And the wives of the Prophet and the other members of the companions and their family members.
Who also were four Shia imams.
Yes, four Shia imams, like it's Imam Hassan alayhi salam,
yes,
and